Pickaxe.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
I'm rolling.
We're good.
Rolling. What?
Come
what?
On! You know you'll be doing this shit. Come on!
That's terrible. Keep that as the intro. I want people to know.
Well, that's fucking Fred Durst in a nutshell, isn't it? I mean, I watched the video for that the other day. I was on stream. I didn't have anything to do, and I watched that video. And, you know, he's got like the red baseball cap on backwards and fucking
Limp Bizkit
khakis and like a big baggy white t-shirt and stuff. I thought to myself, people thought that, must have thought at the time when this came out that this guy was cool. But when you look back, it's like, what? You know what I mean? Like the, just like the high pitched voice and like the, and everything. And you just think,
I always hated them. Like,
yeah, same. It was,
they were always awful.
I was too old to sort of, you know what I mean? Like, if you were like 13 when they came out, you might think, oh, fuck, that's like, I remember my brother listening to them. He had like a Discman and he got a bunch of CDs like 1 year for Christmas. And it was that typical, like, we went to my grandma's house for Christmas and he was just sitting in a corner sulking and like listening to Limp Bizkit. Like, you know, like a typical sort of teenage thing. And I guess he was like into them at the time.
Listening to him be like, and being like, yeah, but I was like,
I was like 18 or 19 when that song came out, and I was already beyond it. I was just like, nah, that's not music for me. I don't want to listen to that. Come
on,
what
do they look like now? These guys, Limp Bizkit,
Fred
Durst, just like regular old men.
Probably the same. They probably just had a couple of little, like, you know.
You see, sometimes they turn into just very middle class dads, like Beastie Boys. I are now looking like very middle class dads.
Well, they're rich,
just hanging out.
I mean, I think it's one of those things.
But they come from this sort of era of when you just almost expect them to be rebellious kids forever. You know, wearing like loose jeans and having like.
I mean,
nose rings,
bear in mind,
stuff.
A lot of these guys that do that kind of image, that's what it is. It's an image. I mean, most of these guys, if you look at their background, their dad was like an accountant and their mum, you know, was like worked in an office or whatever. And they had a nice middle class upbringing and then they took it to the streets.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's like, you know, it's you got to learn how to make music.
It was faux as well, wasn't it? It was all fake streets. Yeah. You're right. It wasn't real street at all. It was fake street.
Vanilla Ice famously was kind of fake streets, wasn't it?
Oh, he was 100% fake street.
Remember when Ice Baby came out and he was talking about like the hood in Miami and stuff like that. And he wasn't even from there or anything. Like, I think he was just
Robert,
you know,
Matthew Van Winkle.
He's probably from like a suburb in Delaware or something.
Yeah.
You know?
But the weird thing is at that time, to make it in rap, you had to have some kind of street cred to be a rapper, because otherwise people were like, this guy's a fake. Like, he's singing about, like, if you think about rap in the 80s and the 90s, was very much that gangster rap kind of thing about, you know, the streets and your crew and how tough everything was. So for Vanilla Ice to turn up and say it, everyone was like, fuck you. Like, you know, you're just some rich white kid from Miami or whatever. You're not from the streets. So I think that was the difference. Nowadays, anybody can rap and nobody's like, yo, this guy ain't shot anybody. You know, it's like, no problem. If you can rap and it's good, so be it.
There's a lot of accounts. I don't want to spread like misinformation, but there are a lot of accounts of, you know, like some of the more hardcore, like gangster rap groups, like NWA, for example. They were around people who were, you know, dealing drugs or possibly like killing
people.
Yeah,
let's get like a rap beef going.
You want to start
say bad stuff about them.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
and I think Eazy-E himself was like that. He never set out to be a rapper. He was sort of like made into one by Dr. Dre and Ice Cube, who saw that
you can have
in him. But before that, he was just dealing drugs
some
and
tofu.
He had street money to finance them, sort of thing.
We got a street tofu going on. The East Coast, West
Sips
Coast.
Sips is getting a corn burger going on.
Yeah, no, but I think like Ice Cube and Dr. Dre were, you know, Dr. Dre is just a DJ. Like, I don't think he was running around doing drive-bys and like dealing drugs and stuff like that.
Yeah,
same,
I'm sure he was
with
like
Ice
a dentist
Cube. He was
or
just
something.
Like they were rapping licensed about things that they saw, but not necessarily about
right
things that they were
also
involved
things,
in.
Also, things that sold records was let's remember
sure
that.
There's that too.
But
yeah,
it was always just random, right? Even like today, like sometimes you just can't fucking tell what's going to go viral, you know, on the internet. I mean, instead of coronavirus news. Fucking hell. What a segue.
Yeah.
I don't know whether we should avoid talking about it completely.
I had a really bad anxiety attack last night because I was thinking, and that's the worst thing you can do is to think about, like, I run over scenarios in my brain about, you know, what would I do in this situation and all the rest of it. And then I start to imagine fucking DayZ stuff and, you know, Walking Dead and everything. So it sort of gets you. But. At the same time, I went out today. I had to go to the pharmacy and I had to go to, I had to buy some paper and pencils and rubbers, like restock on lined paper, because the kids are going to be home from school for the foreseeable.
Yeah.
Like there's a chance they might not go back to finish this school year.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is pretty crazy. So all the parents, we've got a WhatsApp group for our classes and everything. We're all sharing learning resources and we're planning next week. I'm going to homeschool them. Mrs. F is going to homeschool. We'll give them homework to do.
Okay.
And stuff like that.
So this is how you play Witch Doctor, right? You're going to want to start off by picking up a cue, one point in cue, because that'll
six
help
tangos
you get the early stuns and
you
secure the
early
runes.
Also, you take Maledict level one. You've just failed. That's an F.
I like you. The idea of you and a chalkboard. If we had a fucking chalkboard out of the shed, you're like, this is what my daddy taught me. My daddy taught me. You do not go Skeleton King.
Oh, man.
I could pick them all, the drafts and counter picks and stuff.
Yeah.
You just picked Meepo into Winter Wyvern and Earthshaker and F. You get out of my classroom.
You could do like a little exam for them.
Yeah, exactly.
You're in the safe lane and your witch doctor's gone missing. Your carrier's gone missing. What do you do?
The answer is get as much farm as you can while you can and pretend you can't hear your team. That's the answer.
I love those fucking exam questions where it's like, Abdul is considering buying a divine rapier, but his teammate, Thomas...
Fucking Abdul, every time. I tell him time and time again, don't do it, but he just goes and does it. He wants to make it work.
Another member of his team, Vladimir, is swearing in Russian.
Vladimir. Yeah,
they always pick like these sort of...
Vladimir
know
has decided to queue on EU West servers, generally English speaking, and has decided to start swearing in Russian.
I don't know if you're qualified.
His teammates are bewildered. They don't understand his weird moon language.
I saw a tweet by someone that was like, tried teaching my... 5 and 7 year old for an hour and 11 minutes and nearly lost my mind. Like I have a newfound respect for what teachers do every day.
Yeah, seriously.
Kind of thing.
It's amazing. I mean, 30 kids, it's I want to say it's one
most
of the
undervalued things, isn't it?
Yeah, but I saw a tweet the other day that says, it turns out that actually doctors, nurses, teachers, bin men, delivery drivers, shelf stockers are actually really important jobs. Who knew? And it's like, it's an interesting take because now I hope people are waking up to how important these jobs are and how society breaks down and everybody's in a mad panic when they suddenly can't have access to things that previously they had honestly taken for granted. So just look at yourselves and think, hang on a sec, when the teachers and the schools shut, my life was completely fucking turned upside down. Maybe we shouldn't just say, oh, those teachers have it easy. They don't need more money. Except that what they're doing is vital. And the same goes for all the healthcare professionals and all the support staff and everything. And even simple things like the bin men, if they just stopped, the streets would be piled up in no time. So have some fucking respect for the down and gritty jobs that
we
people have.
We should be respecting these roles more.
People who are stocking shelves and stuff and making sure that you can buy more toilet paper than you actually need. are kind of putting themselves on the line as well. Like, they're there. There's no protection. Like, they're around people all the time who could be passing this virus on to them and stuff, just so you can hoard toilet paper. So
exactly. Maybe say even thanks. Like postman.
Just say thanks.
You know, making sure people are getting their deliveries. You know, some people probably have their pills delivered by mail. Probably some people, you know, could definitely need that copy of Animal Crossing, you know, by, you know, people need like mental health stuff too. Like there's a lot of roles that are, you know, really important. And in fact, in some ways help to kind of get us through this situation, because if you can go out to the shop and it's not shut, you know, it feels, or you know, even if it's like a skeleton staff, it still feels like fairly normal, which is just weird. It's a weird time to be involved with stuff. But yeah, shout out to everyone fucking helping out other people. So what's happened with me is, first of all, in the office, it's basically we've told everyone who can work from home, they can work from home, right? So everyone's getting on with it and stuff in Discord, and it's just business as usual, basically.
Yeah.
But in my flat, a little sign went up which said, this guy is coordinating the sort of the block of flats support group for anyone who needs shopping done for them. And right. So you just have to ring his number and he'll go out and buy you like shopping if you need it, you know, any like rice or anything. Just put your orders in, he'll drop it at your door. It's very generous. Someone's obviously really just offering to help out. It's very kind. And so it really sort of, it's, you know, there are people out there, there's loads of people out there who are really good-hearted people.
Yeah.
And are just being very supportive to other people when they need it at this time. So if you you should always just check in with people. I rang my parents. I booked like a regular slot to ring my parents every week on Skype.
That's nice of you.
Yes, I had a chat with them Tuesday afternoon. They're doing all right. But they're a bit concerned.
Sure.
Everyone's a bit anxious about it.
I mean, speaking of anxiety and Flax's anxiety and like, you know, thinking about stuff at night and whatever, I'm not a very anxious person, but last night, as I was leaving the garage to go back into my house, I found myself stopping midway between my garage and my house because I heard a noise. I froze to listen. And then as I was unlocking my house door, I was looking back for it and I thought, man, I am playing too much Escape from Tarkov. Like, it's insane. Like, everything. Like, I'm actually acting in my real life now like a scurrying rat in Escape from Tarkov. I hear one noise, I freeze. And yes. I'm looking around and trying to hear if somebody's sneaking up around a corner on me, and unlocking my door and looking both ways to make sure that nobody's watching me go in.
I've got a stack of graphics cards here.
Closing. Yeah, I've got a fucking ton of graphics cards in my garage now and stuff. And I... Shit. Built a makeshift bathroom out here and a stash for all of my essentials. And oh man, it's crazy.
I mean, is that like
fun? But
is this a situation where we all have laughed about doomsday preppers on this podcast before? And it's not, certainly, it's a long way from that. I mean, actually, as someone who is probably more inclined to do that than a lot of people, I weirdly maintain a small cupboard full of tins and rice and stuff like that in case I can't be asked to go.
Do you know
out,
what?
Right?
I don't doomsday prep because I don't want to survive doomsday.
Yes, we've been through this.
I want to go.
Yeah,
I don't want to be stuck in a bunker somewhere with a bunch of toilet paper and beans. Just kill me before that happens.
Well, it's more relevant for people who would be trapped inside, though. Like, you know, or should isolate.
What was that movie with John Goodman where they're in the bunker? Because there's like an alien invasion. And
it was the follow-up.
He's a prepper, but then...
What was it called? The film where the original one, where they were monsters in the city.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
I can't remember it, because it was something you watch once and
then
like you never
Cloverfield
need to see
it. Or Cloverfield?
That's right. It was Cloverfield Lane. Cloverfield Lane.
That's the one, yeah.
It's terrible.
It's all right.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. I think I saw it with you, actually, Lewis. Didn't we go see it
I think there's a lot
movies?
Of scary hype around this, whereas actually I feel like at the very end of the day, yes, it's serious. Yes, we should stop other people and elderly people getting it, but it's not like a zombie apocalypse, is it? It's like
the only thing I'm worried about is civil unrest. If people start rioting, you never know. I mean, if people start running out of food, like if something happens with the food supplies and people can't get it, you're going to get a lot more crime. People breaking into people's houses to steal their food, shops getting smashed up, fires, etc. it's a little worrying. And I think that's why they've got the army and all the rest of it out on the sort of semi. They're talking about getting the army out because you never know. You might need to suppress some civil unrest. But we'll see. But
especially in a place like Italy where a lot of stuff is closed down.
If I was trapped inside with a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old for like more than a couple of weeks, I think I'd start, you know, making a doomsday banner and, you know, ripping some clothes into a makeshift, you know, skull face and get, you know, walking out yelling on the streets, help, I can't stand it anymore. Well, someone look after my kids.
I mean, we're
I want to get a hockey mask and be like the guy in Mad Max. Just walk away.
We're lucky we got a backyard. We got like a trampoline for the kids and stuff. So like, even if we're kind of stuck at home, they can still go back there and burn off some steam and stuff. And I think it's all right.
You tell me this time next week when you've spent a week at home with them.
Well, I don't have to though. It's my wife spends. I just come out to the garage and do my thing, you know.
Your wife's gonna be
my wife's
like, gotta
do
totally
it. She likes having them home though. It's in some ways it's easier having them home because it's a lot of farting around, getting them to school, picking them up from school, making lunches, like all that kind of stuff. And in some ways, like,
just have like a second Christmas,
bit easier.
Just
for
get
them.
The Christmas tree out.
Yeah, just bust that thing out.
I mean, luckily nowadays we have a lot of things like Netflix, the internet. You know, my youngest has an iPad she loves. My eldest has a laptop I gave her, so it's like they can occupy themselves pretty well.
Well, this is the other thing, like, it feels like everyone has this attitude of self-isolation, you know, keep yourself entertained, you know, it's a great opportunity to read that book or do that thing, and people are like, oh god, I don't know if I've got enough stuff to watch. And I'm like, so I was talking to someone who I won't name in Discord the other night,
Boris Johnson.
Like, oh yeah, I finally get to like read all this stuff and read all this anime or manga or whatever. I was like, sure, whatever floats your boat. But then I thought, you do nothing. You're like a streamer. You like stream a couple of hours a week, and you don't have a job. You don't have kids. You know, this is no different to your regular life. Like, nothing's changed for you. You're already a shut-in.
But they can't get toilet paper. That's the big difference. There's none. It's sold out everywhere. So now what?
What do you mean now what? What do you mean now what? Do you use your sleeve? like a normal person. There's loads of alternatives. When I was in uni, we ran out of toilet paper all the time because, you know, when you were a student, that's what happened. We just used anything that was around. Kitchen rolls, a bit rough, but you get used to it.
I just did the next logical big brain play. There's no toilet paper left. I went to the store and bought myself 2,000 pairs of underpants. I just got, extra underpants now. So, you know what I mean? Just wipe my ass with them. After I do one. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that
nappies.
My diet is as such where I only need to poop like maybe once a week or something. I'll be fine.
I think this is going to do wonders for the moist toilet roll market. So when I went to the co-op, the only thing they had was the moist toilet roll, you know, like slightly like wet. Have you seen those? They changed my world.
Do you wipe your ass with a wet towel?
No, they're like toilet roll, but they're wet. They're like in a little wet wipes. But
they're not very bad for the sewers. Sips and I have spoken about this before.
Yeah.
Oh, I have some big news for longtime listeners of the Triforce podcast.
Hooray.
This is Spy House news.
Oh, Spy House. There's an update on Spy House.
The
Spy House
that backs up the back of your house.
Okay. Update on
this
Spy
activity
House.
In the Spy House.
Some new neighbors have moved in next door to them. Very nice young couple. I was chatting to them yesterday over the garden fence, as you do.
Very nice young couple. Yeah. That's such a period flax thing to say.
It is.
How old are they?
Well, they're younger than me. They haven't. I mean, she's pregnant, so I know that they must be younger than me. And, you know, they're about to have their first. So they're like probably 30s. Where we were 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Whatever.
Sure, right.
So
they see you and they're like, oh, look at this God, old he's going to be trouble, this old bastard, this bald arsehole.
So I looked, they were in Spy House's garden, and I looked out of my window.
Well, were they having
like
a welcome to the neighborhood barbecue, and everybody was there except for you, and you were just like, oh, what's going on over there? Those guys look like they're having fun. And like Spy Master was out there flipping burgers, and he had like the apron with like the naked tits on it and stuff. And
yeah, and a massive hobo beard and like shit tons of water and toilet paper stacked up.
No.
Doomsday prepping.
Oh, right, okay.
No, they were The spy house's guard.
They opened a door to a secret bunker.
Can I'll tell you.
And they all descended into the bunker.
What, they knocked down the fence and combined gardens?
No. The point is that the garden, the spy house garden was growing into their garden.
Oh.
So they just went in there and started hacking it down. Okay. So the young guy got his dad and they were like fucking smashing all this stuff down and cutting it down. They trimmed the trees that were going crazy. And I said to them, do you guys live there? Because I didn't know. And he said, no. But we spoke to the guy. They have his phone number. And you can now see into the back of Spy House. And it turns out, first of all, the house is completely abandoned and has been for years. I knew that much. But I suspected that there was still something going on. He said, the thing is, the guy used to rent it out, used to live there for a while, but his wife got sick with cancer. He lives down in Teddington, and they're keeping the house because they're going to do it up and resell it at some point. It's not a spy house. Much simpler explanation,
right?
Which I'm relieved about. But the state of this house is unbelievable. One of the back doors has completely fallen in, so animals have just been living in there, and it's just completely overrun.
Fucking he.
Fuck.
That's crazy.
Dude, that sounds like a project for you.
What the fuck? Dad, I'm not going to go and fix up someone else's house. What are you?
Just flip it. You could buy it up for like fucking dirt cheap, knock through the fence, then you could like just go out the garden and fix it up.
Just buy a house? What are you talking about?
No, how much is it? If it's animals that live in there, how much is it worth?
Well, I would think...
With the animals included?
2 million.
It's London. They cost, those animals ain't cheap.
You know, this house, a piece of shit, is probably only worth about 50,000. But there's a whole family of raccoons there. Let me think. Okay, 5 raccoons and potentially...
Do they get squatters' rights?
They can have offspring as well. Okay, let's get the value of all these raccoons. And what's that? Pigeons in the loft? Okay, how many pigeons are up there? You just start counting all the wildlife.
All right, let's say so 100 quid for each raccoon, 20 quid for each pigeon, 50 grand for the property, all that shitty extra foliage that'll cost you because that's worth it. That's grown for years, that has. A load of lovely mud coating the inside. Add a couple thousand on for that. I'd say London prices, you know, premium.
3 million.
Put a little bit of tax on the top.
3 million.
That's going to be 2.5 million. 2.5 million, please. Nice. That's how much it is for a fucking...
Yeah, I know. It's
anywhere
fucking crazy, fucking crazy.
I mean, you'd have to spend 100 on the house to get it up to... I mean, it for one thing, it's separated into 2 flats. So you're going to have to get rid of that and put a staircase in.
Right.
Because it's too small for flats. But an old disabled lady used to live there, which is why they had it converted into flats and rented out the top. So there's a whole story to it.
Yeah, every house has a story. You'd be amazed.
It's much less interesting now you know the story.
It
you
is.
Know, it was nice when it was it spy is. House.
Yeah.
You know, when you could
spy.
Think anything was going on there. You could like wonder what was happening, if there was like Russian meetings.
Yeah.
Old properties there, always like, have like a bit of a story to them when they've been around for a long time. But what do you think the story is going to be for like new builds? You know, like these Chinese apartment buildings that go up in like 2 weeks because they're like prefab and stuff like that.
Well, they're built on a burial ground, aren't they? Do you know what I mean?
What do you think? What do you think the cool story for those apartments?
You know what I always think when I think of new builds, I think of someone murdering someone in their family in a new build. I don't know why.
Chucking them in the foundation.
Yeah, yeah. I always think of new builds as a place where violence is done. I don't know why. I look at old houses and I think they've got a kind of a charming spirit to them. But a new build to me is like soulless. Murder could be done there. That's what I'm thinking.
I feel like an older building though has that you know, that those people have lived in there so long and they've buried their relatives in the wall or whatever. And then the next couple have moved in, killed someone, buried that relative in the wall. So it's just false walls on false walls. Do you know what?
That's
why all the rooms are really small and claustrophobic.
That's like the sitcom.
Because originally they were very big and spacious.
There's a show called Ghosts made by the guys that did Horrible Histories.
I've seen bits and pieces.
It is very good.
To that mansion and the woman can see all the ghosts.
She gets a head injury and when she comes around, she can see these ghosts and they've all died on that property over the years. One of them is like a caveman. So he died there like thousands of years ago and stuff. And then you've got all these other ones that have come in over time.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
It is funny.
Oh, is it a sitcom?
Yeah, yes. But it's on like in the evening. It's not like it's on like...
Yeah, no, it's not like for kids, but it's very funny. One of my favorite bits is one of the guys that died there was like an army general or like a lieutenant or something like that. And he says to the assembled ghosts, well, it looks like we're going to have to get rid of this living couple. It's going to be a guerrilla war. And the caveman says, guerrilla always win.
Yeah, a good little joke.
A nice little joke.
What was it we watched with you when I was at yours, Sips?
Goes Wrong show. Fuck, that's amazing. It's so fucking funny.
It's definitely something you could watch with the kids. It doesn't feel like that offensive. And it had a few good laughs. It felt very slapstick,
but it is very funny.
It's kind of nice to watch some fucking British comedy again, honestly. Like, I feel like
that doesn't feel like it's trying to be American comedy.
Everything American. Yeah. Like, it didn't feel like, it doesn't have to be
it
was, like,
it
constant,
feels like,
you know,
pretty
F-bombs
uniquely
stuff.
British, doesn't it? Like,
F-bombs.
Some of the newer, like, sitcoms, like, British sitcoms feel like they're trying to be, like, overly American somehow, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think my favorite comedy shows ever are probably like Trailer Park Boys and The Office and It's Always Sunny.
Arrested Development, that was pretty good.
Arrested Development, I love those, it's nice to, I don't know, just watch some British comedy again.
No, it's harmless, but it's really fun.
The Windsors this week, which I didn't really like.
The Windsors. Oh, that's terrible. Jeez.
It just started auto-playing while I was playing.
I saw it on Netflix because I saw an ad for it and I thought, it might be kind of funny, but it's Harry Enfield hasn't been funny for like 30 years now or something.
No,
like,
he has not.
It's crazy. No. Like, he used to actually genuinely be very funny. Like, you know, like loads of money.
I like him,
and
though.
All that.
It's interesting to
see. You know
see.
What made me laugh? Match of the Day. Obviously, there's no football. So in the Match of the Day schedule, they just panicked and stuck in an episode of Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Oh, no.
They got a shitload of complaints.
Oh, man, they should put some old shit on instead. Like,
that's what people said. Stick
the
a classic
show
stick
as
well.
Stick
a classic
Mrs.
Match
Brown's
of the Day.
Or if you're going to put
so
a comedy on, put an
bad.
Old one on. Put like Some Mothers Do Have Them or something like that. Like something that's actually kind of funny instead of fucking.
I just think they should run some old football. Run an old Match of the Day. Des Lynam, you know, break it out the old ones. Like a classic episode where there's like really good games and it was like a title chase or something. Chuck that in. I'd love to see that. Alan Hansen back in there. Terrible defender. You know, all that stuff. Classics instead of fucking Mrs. Brown's Boys. The worst sitcom I've ever seen.
It's so bad. Fuck me.
There are some terrible
It's impossible
sitcoms,
to watch. It's just the worst.
It's the way the audience are absolutely losing their shit. Yeah. Like, what are you laughing at? I watched a Joe Pasquale stand-up set the other day because Stuart Lee's always having a go at Joe Pasquale.
Yeah.
He was big in the, I think, the late 80s and early 90s was like Joe Pasquale's prime time.
Yeah.
And
more recently, he was on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. That was the last
right.
time I saw
it's,
him.
It's abysmal. His stand-up is abysmal. Like, it's unwatchably unfunny. And the people are absolutely creasing up and like falling out of their seats. There's something offensive about seeing that level of laughter about something that you know demonstrably is empirically bad.
I know. You see it sometimes, but no, I've got a lot of shit I want to watch. I got a lot of crap. I think actually one of the things I'm trying to do is not watch so much miserable documentary stuff. I've been watching, like, I watched all of the new Dirty Money series.
Oh, I haven't watched the new one.
I watched the
Trump episode of season one because my wife hadn't seen anything. And I said, you should watch it. Give it a try. Watch this one about Trump because, like, you know, it's a bit more relevant now that he's a president and whatever. And so we watched that, and it was miserable, but you know, it's pretty good. She liked it.
It's fucking hard to watch because, like, you're like, Jesus Christ.
You lose a lot of faith in humanity when you watch that documentary series. It's crazy the shit that people do just for money as well. It doesn't make any sense, but
it's interesting to see some of these worlds that you didn't know were going on.
Yeah.
Sort of criminal underworlds.
It's educational too, because it you watch something like that and it makes you realize that you can actually go out of your way to avoid ever getting caught up in any of those worlds. You know what I mean? Like, just live a simple life. don't go to Trump University and don't fucking buy. You know, cars from companies that have cheated on carbon emissions and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Just
it is amazing.
Just keep it simple.
Almost every episode is like this. Somebody does something incredibly poisonous to either the environment or the rules or something, and they get slapped with a fine that is about one quarter of the profits that they made exploiting they cut down a shitload of rainforest, sold it for $2 billion and got fined £20. It's like, what? It's like, it's insane.
Yeah.
The craziest thing about all of it is that nobody takes responsibility whatsoever for it, because it's usually a big organizational thing, and it just becomes like, it just becomes money on a piece of paper, right? It's just numbers on paper, and nobody stops to think about how it might affect like anybody else or anything else or whatever.
If you haven't seen Enron, The Smartest Guys in the Room, that's a really good documentary that was, I noticed, was on Netflix the other day. And that's really interesting. Enron is such a crazy, scandalous collapse and the things that they did are so awful.
But there's a lot of like time that goes into weighing up how worth it is it to do something versus how much are we likely to get fined for doing it, sort of thing. And if they're still profitable at the end, they'll just do it. It's fucking unbelievable.
All this stuff though just builds up this pressure of fury in me. It's futile. You know, it's, I feel like my dad writing letters to the Prime Minister, you know, angrily complaining about something.
Does
it's
he
like,
do that?
Just pissing into the wind. Yeah. I mean, my dad's but he still regularly writes letters to the Prime Minister. He's done it for years.
Hope you're well. Quick update on the runner beans, coming along nicely in this rainy season.
I think
however, I have a question about the National Health Service.
It does just get it out of his system, you know. He obviously is Daily Telegraph reader, and he just follows things. And actually, a couple of years ago, my mum sort of managed to get him to like stop buying it every day, and actually he's been a lot more chill since. And I think that like we do have this, I can't remember what it's called, but there's this thing I read about on Wikipedia, and I read an article about it, and it's called like, it's something like negativity bias. And it basically, our media around us, because you know we're constantly watching just like murder shows, you know, casual viewing for me is like CSI or like Midsummer Murders or like, you know, Touch of Frost. Even my parents, you know, are very surrounded by kind of casual family viewing murder shows.
And those
right?
shows about police stopping shows, right? people.
Yeah.
My mum watches all of those. Anything set in a hospital, like dramas, not dramas, but real life stuff in a hospital, real life stuff involving the police. She reads the paper, she watches the news, and I'm just like, you're entertaining yourself by filling your life with dread. Just permanently.
Well, that's
with
what
dread.
It is. It is. It's this build-up of sort of anxiety and fear that the world is a much scarier place than it is. The reality is that far more people are positive and supportive, to the extent that it's hundreds of times or thousands of times more people are. You know, the murder rate is incredibly small. You know, Midsummer Murders. You know, the show.
That town should be razed to the ground.
Do you think that some people's attitudes and views tend to be sort of national rather than local as well?
Like, yes.
And I think that 100%. I think that's part of the problem too, because I think if you got a local paper about things that were going on in your immediate area and affecting people that are part of your community or whatever, it's easily digestible stuff, right? Like, because you can relate to it a lot better. You could potentially get involved in something or whatever. But
have you read the local paper? Because I have. Here's the thing: it's hella boring. It's boring because that's reality.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
People don't want to read.
Yeah.
Boring.
Our local paper is the same. Like every once in a while, there'll be like a trial for somebody like getting caught with drugs or something. But for the most part, it's like, oh, grade three are painting a piece of wood on the front. And
exactly.
stuff like that, and you're just like, yeah, great. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's as boring as it is. I would rather read that than be fucking scared to death at every turn reading something like, you know, the Sun or the fucking Daily Mail or some shit like that. You know what I mean?
At the same time, like, I think that there is a fear in headlines and a fear in not knowing the full story yourself. Like, if you're not sure what's going on, I think you need to educate yourself in order to reassure yourself or of a situation. Don't think that learning more about something is actually going to usually make your fear of it worse. I think, for example, with coronavirus, I think the way we are so terrified, and people who aren't familiar and have read up about all of the stuff are more scared than the people who have. Do you know what I mean? I think that, not say that you should get addicted to
I had a run-in in the pharmacy today about corona.
Oh, did you?
Go on. Because, they had a sign when you come in, and the pharmacy near me sort of has two aisles either side of like some of those, what are they? They're called gondolas, right? The things that, the shelves. So you've got the shelves there, and there's two aisles either side, and they both lead to the counter.
Sure.
And
pretty standard.
There's a sign that
pretty
says,
standard shop setup.
And then there's a sign that says, "If you have the coronavirus," and I read that, And then they've stuck a little thing next to it that says, cue this side. So I read down as far as cue this side, because it's like the top of the sign is white text on red, which is like jumps out at you, if you have the coronavirus. And then there's a little sign saying, cue this side. And I look and there's a bunch of people queuing that side. I thought, blimey. So I queued the other side because I don't have coronavirus or I don't have any symptoms of it. And this old lady's like, there's a queue. And I said, yeah, but that queue's for people with the coronavirus and I don't have it. And she said, I don't have the coronavirus. There's a queue. I said, well, why are you queuing on that side? I said, that's the queue for people that have coronavirus. She just kept saying, there's a queue. There's a queue. And this other guy came and queued next to me thinking, well, I don't have coronavirus, because the sign was so confusing that it freaked this old lady out. She thought I was trying to queue jump, but I wasn't. And I
was, she was more upset about the queue jumping than the fucking...
She was!
Give me the virus anyway! Get this man out of here!
We are society!
One of the old guys in the queue says to me, it says if you have the coronavirus, you have to go home. He said the queue part is separate.
Oh my God, that might have been the trigger that started the fucking riots.
Right, and I thought that simple...
This is how this shit gets started in Britain anyway. Someone's not following the fucking queuing rules.
That's where we break down.
Call the army!
I went back and read the sign and it said, if you have the coronavirus, and then a little bit that said queue this side, but then underneath that it said, go home. So I stopped reading at the point where it said queue this side because I thought, well, I don't know.
It's
going to
become like a profile thing. Like they're gonna, there's gonna be signs on the bathrooms, no coronies allowed, and stuff like that. It's fuck.
Yeah, it's scary.
It's crazy.
But she was absolutely bonkers angry, thinking I was queue jumping. It was funny. But in the end, I queued up behind her, and this guy came next to me, said the sign definitely said queue the other side. I'm with you, mate. I was like, all right, so if this comes to a fight, it's me and this fella against this old lady and this old fella. So we'll fucking take them. We'll take their pharmacy drugs and we'll run out.
Jesus Christ. Some people.
And we'll burn the place to the ground.
I don't get some people, man. Like, that's just crazy. Like, just fucking take 2 seconds, even if it's a confusing sign. You know what I mean? Like, instead of yelling at somebody, just ask them. Just be, you know, or just fucking leave them to it. I would never confront somebody about something so fucking stupid. Like, I have a bit more self-respect and a bit more fucking desire to, like, maintain some degree of well-being than to fucking stand in a pharmacy and yell at somebody because of queuing etiquette. I mean, fuck off.
I'm sure that putting people in high-pressure environments is going to cause a whole bunch of problems. And so we are going to see this, I'm sure, over the next few weeks as people go a bit stir crazy and get put out of their routines.
Apparently people who work at grocery stores and stuff are being yelled at because there's no toilet paper.
Yeah.
Like people are actually going into stores being like, what the fuck are you doing? Where the fuck is the toilet? Like actually getting yelled at. Like,
I know. And people take these things for granted and assume that person behind the counter is in charge of toilet paper somehow.
How
fucking...
do you get to that point in your life where you're yelling at somebody in a store? I would never dream of doing it.
Panic.
Someone who's being paid minimum wage, panic. You know, who's probably coming in and probably will be fired, you know, for fucking, you know, just because the company's having a slight downturn.
Have you guys ever gone to a store and yelled at somebody before? You've been something that's gone wrong
at a store?
I can't believe
people do that. But... That's a rare thing, actually, Sips. Like, again, people are doing that, but I went to the pet store. Most people, 99% of people are fine.
I went to the pet store when I got Terry, and I spent, I think it was £180, right, on all the gear for him. Like, his cage, lights, like everything, just to get him set up. It was like £180, okay? And I get back from the store, I paid for everything on using my card. I kept the receipt and stuff. I get back from the store and I'm unloading all the stuff. My wife looks at the receipt and she's like, holy fuck. It's like, what? She's like, God damn, like Terry and his gear are expensive. It's like, oh, it's like £180. Like, it's kind of expensive. She's like, 180? You mean 1,800 pounds? I was like, no, there's no way. but like 5 minutes later, because I was like, oh, I'll just go up and sort it out. Like, the girl just put like an extra zero on the keypad or something or whatever. But then 5 minutes later, the owner of the store phoned me and he's like, oh fuck, we really overcharged you. Sorry about that. I was like, yeah, we just noticed. Like, and he's like, yeah, come up and we'll get it all sorted out. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks. But like, even something like that, I wouldn't lose my shit over because I just feel like you can sort anything out just by sort of slowly and methodically going through it and reasoning it out and stuff, right? Like,
yeah.
I would never go to a store and be like, you fucking stupid fucking idiots, you fucking charged me too, but fuck you! Like, just going crazy, like, what the hell?
I think some people see, and you know, anyone that's worked in retail, I have, and I'm sure a bunch of our viewers have, and probably do.
Yeah,
a lot of people see you. Yeah, a lot of people see you as a target for their anger. And they immediately feel that they're the customer, therefore they outrank you. They are going to give you shit, and they're going to you as a punching bag because you're less than them. You're serving them. You have a subservient role in this dynamic, so I'm going to take this out on you. And anyone that just says, look, I just work here. Well, you represent the store, don't you? Don't you? You represent the store. Just fuck off, mate, all right? I mean, I'm sure your job is fucking amazing, you piece of shit. You're here shopping at 2 o'clock in the fucking afternoon. Probably haven't got a fucking job, or you're retired, you old cunt. Fuck off. I'm doing this for fuck all.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say.
I feel like you could totally do that if you ran your own, like, I don't know, chip shop or whatever. But if you're like in a fucking actual, like a Subway or a McDonald's or somewhere that pays just absolutely shit minimum wage.
Have a Subway day.
And has all these fucking training things to like get you on board.
It would be worth taking that job, even if you didn't need it. I'm tempted to get that job and hope a customer gives me some shit so I can tell them what I really think on behalf of all my fellow workers that can't open their mouth,
yeah,
that have to just eat that shit day in, day out because they need the job and they can't afford to lose it. But don't push people too far. That's all I'm saying. Because eventually they're going to snap and they're going to start spitting in everybody's burgers just because you've been a cunt.
I think that, do you know what it is? I think it's don't push the workers too far as well. Because if these guys who are being paid minimum wage to get, you know, complained at, and they're working, you know, either extra hours or overtime or being forced
stressful.
To, you know,
it's very stressful. It's,
you're gonna have the people say, look, we're not working under these.
A good manager. And I've seen this, will literally tell a customer to fuck off.
Yeah.
Like if you have a decent manager, they'll come out because they'll take the heat and they can talk to the head office and say, look, this bloke was, I'm not
I've seen that happen
and
before,
say, yeah,
actually.
I've seen it. Where the manager comes out and says, I'm not having you talk to my staff like that, get out.
Yeah, I've actually like, seen that like firsthand before. Not that anybody, I've never been yelled at by a customer, but I've had coworkers yelled at like in retail jobs by customers. And the manager just comes up and just says, excuse me, you have to leave. Like, that's like unacceptable,
yeah,
which is, it's great. It actually makes you feel like really good when it happens. And you have a lot of respect for the person. Cause that's a hard thing to do. Actually just going up to somebody and just saying like, sorry, you're out, you know, like it's not,
yeah, get out
it's
of
not
this
an
store.
Easy thing to confront somebody. Like,
I bet the managers fucking love it.
Oh,
I would,
man,
I would love it.
Yeah,
turfing out a bastard customer.
Yeah.
That must be let's have a collective high five team.
Yeah. Definitely. Sure.
Fucking let's do it.
Can I say as well that there's like some sweet joy in seeing airlines be turning into beggars, right? Because the airlines were used to be absolute fucking cunts.
Yeah.
Right? They would be like, oh, do you want to sit next to your wife? That's 150 extra quid,
mate. I saw that tweet.
Do you want to fucking, you know, get some, do you want to put your baggage on?
Do you
want to
breathe while you're on the plane? It's going to cost you 5p per breath. We installed technology that can monitor how many breaths you take.
And they've been absolutely awful for years and years and years. Doing like these, have you ever heard of like basic economy
seating?
Well,
it's really, you're talking about Ryanair. There's no other airline that really does
Monarch,
it like that.
They went under, but they were abysmal.
Monarch
I paid for extra legroom
like
seat.
Yeah.
I paid for, it was tenner for seat where I could actually sit straight on. Paid for that. And it was the wrong row. Whatever the equipment they had, it was the wrong row.
Oh, over the last like 5 years, they've had, you know, absolutely amazing record profits, right? And I read that the biggest American airlines put 95% of it back into buying their own shares back.
Nice.
Right? And now they're like, oh, government, can I have some money, please? We don't know how we're going to weather this storm. It's times tough for the old airlines. How are we going to pay our CEOs multiple tens of millions of pounds every week? They're not going to sell the shares they bought back. I mean, that would be insane.
They're worth fuck all now. That's why.
Yeah.
Oh, well, tough shit. Like fucking holy shit. Like what? This is how the world
works. They're a huge polluter. There's too fucking many tourists anyway.
I have no sympathy.
Fuck the
guess airlines. I'm like, I sound like my dad. This is my letter to the Prime Minister.
Man, you should write a letter.
Dear Prime Minister, do not bail out these fucking assholes.
Boris, if you're listening, Jesus, take note. Say no to the airline bailout. Fuck them.
This is what happened. I'm turning into my dad. I saw this week someone put a comment and they took a picture of me with my... Someone took a picture of me because the special effect came in and brought us some eggs and a nice picture and stuff. Anyway, it's very nice. Very nice. Thank you. And they took a picture of me and my hair was sort of flopped to the side.
Right.
And they had a picture of my dad side by side, and he had exactly the same hairstyle. And I was like, right. Oh my God, I'm turning into my dad.
Doesn't your dad have a mustache? Does he have
he
big
does
mustache?
Have a
grow a mustache
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, grow one, man. You should do
well,
it.
Well, I can't. I've tried. I think maybe I got the gene for the hair, but not for the mustache, because he definitely... My dad has a very, very thin upper lip that he's got hidden behind his mustache.
Is this like a pencil mustache, like Brian Ferry?
It's a very thin upper lip, but it looks a bit weird, so that's why he has the mustache to hide
it. He's got a Brian Ferry. You could grow a Brian Ferry easily. I think you'd look good with that, too, with a pencil mustache.
He would look creepy as fuck. He'd look even more like the Bristol Pusher if he had a mustache that he could twirl at the edges. That would be...
Don't listen to Flax. Just get the pencil mustache.
No one. Mustaches are not cool at the moment. The only people who can pull off mustaches are Bollywood stars. And
yes.
Yeah, that's
and
about
dictators.
It.
And dictators. That's it.
Yeah, dictators. Yeah. 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 Middle Eastern dictators and Bollywood stars. And yeah. Most police officers in America as well.
Well,
the mustache is still very popular.
If they're massive racists, they can have a big mustache.
The higher up they are, the bigger the bushier the mustache as well, eh? Here's the commissioner for Baltimore. It just comes out just like a fucking walking mustache.
Yeah.
Like, hey, everybody.
Cowboys and actors who tend to portray cowboys. Sam Elliott, prime example.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be the same without a mustache.
Oh, yeah.
The American cops, it's like such a stereotype, eh? They're always like a little bit overweight, white. They've got like glasses and a mustache, right? Like pretty much every cop. But then there's the other cops that are just like beefcakes. Like they played high school football and...
There was a brief attempt to bring back the mustache, wasn't there, by Henry Cavill. He was a cop, wasn't he, in the movie that... Was he a cop in the movie that he grew a mustache for? Was it Mission Impossible? I can't remember.
He was the bad guy in Mission Impossible.
Oh, right.
Spoiler,
well,
sorry.
Maybe that's...
Sorry.
I can't remember.
By the way, that was a fucking kick-ass movie, the most recent Mission Impossible.
Was it?
I loved it. I
was
loved
Tom Cruise
it.
In it?
Yes! It was so good.
How does that guy do it, man? Like,
I don't know.
Tom Cruise is like 70 years old now, right?
He's 104.
Maybe there is something to this Scientology bullshit.
Alexa.
maybe there is something to this Xenu stuff.
He's 61, I think.
Tom Cruise is 57 years old.
No, he's 57.
57,
okay. He was born on the 3rd of July, 1962.
Oh, he was born on the 3rd of July and not on the 4th of July.
Damn, one day short of
love it or leave it.
Woo!
Like, one day short.
Woo! I love how when people in an audience, Americans do that. I love how they whoop when
that.
People say America.
I hate the whoop.
In
not,
the way
not,
that no one
I,
else
I
does.
I can't get behind the whooping. I don't like it at all.
Woo!
Woo! I mean, you're talking, you know, two English people and a Canadian. We're not about whooping and
no.
And
I think Canadians have a bit more whooping potential. They're very
there is potential.
North American.
There is potential.
Yeah,
in the same way that you're like, is anyone in the studio tonight from the north? And they'll be like, we'll go, yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to go, woo!
Yeah, I know. It's funny, Abe. Like, British sort of culture is very, very, very dry. Yeah, it's not extroverted like Americans.
It's not in
are.
Your face.
Americans.
No. If anything, it's beating
Americans
you down.
Go to rallies and they like get out of their car and they do like the death metal sign. They're like, yeah! Going crazy. It's like, come on, it's a fucking rally. Like, calm down. Like,
Joe Biden!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And British people would do the same thing, but they get out of their car, they'd be like mumbling and like moaning about something in rubber boots and walking across a field. That's like every rally in Britain.
Yeah.
That's true.
Complaining about the weather as they go. Oh God.
Fuck me, man.
Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell.
Well, it's been a it's been a part. It feels like it's like a stripped down podcast. We didn't do a proper intro or anything. I think people are like, it feels like everything recently feels a bit DIY because of the quarantining and everybody being on lockdown and stuff. Everything feels like a little bit seat of the pants these days.
I think we need some like new words for this because quarantine feels like such a zombie movie word, right? We need to call it something else.
And something
like,
more positive than self-isolation.
Yeah.
Let's call it some me time. Everybody's taking some me time.
How about to chill at home, look after themselves
and their loved ones, to not panic.
Retreat to your happiness fortress. How about that?
Exactly. Something like that. Because we're,
no, but
this can
be like,
positive.
Why are you doing it? It should be to like help. It should be like to help the reduction or something like that. You could call it. Do you know what I mean? We need to spin this.
You know what we're doing? We're doing our civic.
The
duty.
Spy house is animal friendly.
Animal friendly. You know? It's the animal house, and it's friendly.
And it's in tune with nature.
Yeah, I think it's important people realize that. People are there for you, your friends are there for you, your family are there for you. They may not be there physically, but we are more connected now with each other and everyone else than we've ever have been through our history. So you're not alone.
You're not alone.
We're still
going to
keep going.
Maybe you're elderly respecting or like, you know.
Exactly.
I don't know.
You're doing your duty. We're doing our job collectively to get over this. And I think we should be proud of the fact that the people are, you know, there are going to be some assholes and there's going to be some dickheads. But on the whole, we're going to collectively pull together and everybody wants this to go well. Everyone I've spoken to says, good luck, all the best, stay healthy. You know, that's what we all want. So let's see it in that way. Socially, we're pulling together.
There's already been, actually. I mean, this podcast's a week delayed, so a lot can change in a week.
Yeah, in a week's time, the whole world will be on fire. But for the time being...
But actually, already I've started to read positive stuff. Like, they've seemed to have gotten on top of it, at least in China. There weren't any new cases over the last couple of days.
So they say.
And, like, it feels like what we're doing by sort of self-isolating and shutting things down does seem to be curtailing the sort of spread quite a lot.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Hopefully. And with the schools closed and more people working from home and stuff, it'll just... I think it's one of those things where it's likely to keep spreading, but I think they want it, if it is going to spread, they want it to spread slowly so they can cope with it.
They don't want everybody to get it at the same goddamn time.
I think there might be benefits that come out of this too, like in terms of how
Tom Hanks
work.
Tom Hanks got it and he's fine now, and his wife as well.
Yeah.
Idris Elba had it as well, and I think he's fine. He had some symptoms, but he said he's fine. Like it didn't affect him, but he was...
A lot less people are getting sick of other things too. I don't know. I feel like...
But apparently, if you do have it, don't use anti-inflammatories.
Use ibuprofen. That's a big no-no.
Because
inflammation is your body fighting an infection, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the point. So,
it can
make it worse. So, yeah, I think that's been widely disseminated. But just in case you didn't hear that, don't take ibuprofen or any similar anti-inflammatories.
Yeah. All right. And eat your five a day and be careful out there.
And don't worry. And
stay frosty.
Look after people in your neighborhood.
We're going to keep going. You know. We're going to entertain you in your hour of need with Tarkov and Triforce and...
Nothing has changed for us. Our life is literally the same.
No, my life has not been impacted.
Literally, everything is the same.
Very much has not changed. Hey, you know what though? Before we go quickly, I'm planning an expansion of my dad garage. I'm going to expand.
To what?
To where?
More turtles.
No. Behind the dad garage, you know, like there's like the patch of garden behind the garage. Lewis has been to my house,
snails.
So he knows.
The bit with all the snails.
Yeah, where all the snails live and stuff. Okay, peep this. I'm going to build an extension to the garage, but it's not going to connect into the... There's not going to be a door into it, but there'll be like a patio area outside, and that whole area behind the garage is going to be like a big like greenhouse / bike shed. What do you think of that?
Greenhouse. I would love to have a greenhouse.
Yeah. But I'm going crazy. I'm going to go crazy with it, though. I'm going to get like one of those fucking mist systems. I'm going to get heating in there and everything. You're going to grow weed. I could grow weed, but it'd probably end up just growing like a couple of herbs and like some tomatoes.
Haven't you already
got
a shed on the other side of the garden?
Yeah, but it's just a crappy like...
Oh, you're going to replace
Lewis,
the Q shed.
I'm
going to get
making,
rid of that
one. Kew Gardens in Jersey. This is
yeah,
the
I'm
start.
Gonna make
oh,
my
I'm,
own.
I'm down.
Yeah, I'm gonna get maybe. I might even get some more tortoises. I might make like a big run for Terry and get him some friends and stuff. And
is just, that? A, is it? They call it a terrarium? Is that where
terrarium?
You put them in a big thing? With
I'll get like I'll make it nice and humid in there with a lot of mist and shit and like oh man, it's gonna be awesome. I'm gonna grow all of his dandelions in there for him and stuff.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, yeah.
Get like a roof bit for the driveway as well. Get like some pillars.
Like a carport.
Put like a little roof on the driveway. Yeah, like a railway station.
No, I think eventually...
And then get like some servants and a butler and
no,
some
armed guards. No, I think eventually that part of the driveway that you're talking about by the porch will probably extend the house out that way.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But that's
you don't have that much space, Sips. You're going to have to... There's a car park on the other side, isn't there? Can you... Who's using that?
On the other side of what?
Cars.
Of the fence, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, it's like not... It used to be part of this property, and then they sold that bit of land to the place next door.
Oh, right.
But who knows? Maybe I could buy it back, and then I could build like a little cottage or something there.
Yeah, dad cottage.
Yeah, and then I could just live in there. My family can live in the big house. Just have like my own little bachelor pad.
So you're planning to become completely self-sufficient. You're going to grow your own food. Yeah. You're going to live in the garage. You're going to build another house.
I'm going to grow my own corn in there.
I don't think that'll work.
I'm going to make my own corn syrup. I'm going to make my own fructose. And I'm going to make all sorts of weird, wonderful corn products.
You could probably grow some tomatoes.
Do they call like corn beef? Do they call it queef? Because they should look into that.
No, I don't think do because... Yeah. You know, it would sell.
It'd be hilarious.
It'd be like calling like a brand of pickles penis farts or something. You know
I think
I mean?
They should do that.
Yeah, they should. Yeah,
I would buy that. It would sell.
Dick pickles. Dickles.
Dickles.
Yeah. All right, that's enough.
See you next time. Bye.
All right.
See you next time.
All right.
Love you. Bye.
Stay safe.